Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm Dave Sulecki.
And I'm PJ.
And this week we have as our guest, Brandon Posh.
Moto America, the home of the AMA Superbike Championship, featuring 190 mile-an-hour superbikes, is the official sponsor of Pit Pass Moto. Tickets and info and the complete 2021 schedule at MotoAmerica.com. That's the place to find out all about the upcoming season. We're going to have 9 rounds of the best racing on 2 wheels. All 20 of those Ono Superbike races are going to air live on Fox Sports along with the King of the Baggers. You can also check out Moto America Rewind and Inside Moto America airing on Fox Sports. And the Super Sport races this year are going to be covered live on MAV TV. So you don't have to miss a minute of the action, practice, qualifying, races, and video, all available on Moto America Live Plus streaming. That's where I check a lot of the action if I can't be there. Super reasonable price for a ton of coverage. Don't miss any of the action there. The first event, getting excited, coming up April 30 through May 2 at Road Atlanta. Moto America Superbikes Atlanta. We can't wait for that to start.
Follow Moto America on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Now here's the latest in industry news.
This last weekend, we had Supercross from Arlington, Texas. It was round 12, and I tell you, it's shaping up to be a great series so far. The guy we had to look out for, and I've mentioned this before, he's riding with a high level of confidence, Cooper Webb. Had to work his way to the front, started out about third or fourth and worked his way up front, made some critical passes late in the race, and takes it home. Followed by Ken Roczen, his main rival in the series right now, comes in second. And defending champ Eli Tomac is third on the box. So that's your 450 class results. In the 250 class, another Cooper, Justin Cooper, pulls the hole shot and disappears. So he is the winner on the night, followed by Pro Circuit Kawasaki rider Cam McAdoo, and also another Kawasaki rider, Seth Hamaker. So that's your 250 West finish for the evening. So your point standings now in the 450 class. We've got Cooper Webb out front and running. He's got 275. He's 15 points up on Ken Roczen at this point. So Ken's got his work cut out for him. Defending champ Eli Tomac is back 41 points with 234. So he's really got his work cut out for him in the final rounds coming up. 250 standings, we've got Justin Cooper leading now with 108. He's got 2 points over Cameron McAdoo, who's got 106, followed by Hunter Lawrence, who sits in third. He's 4 points back, so a real tight battle in that 250 West Series. So really some great racing this last weekend.
This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, what was the first production turbocharged motorcycle produced? We'll be back with that answer after we talk to our guest, Brandon Posh.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto today. Daytona 200 winner, Brandon Posh. Make sure I said that right. I said it right, Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Right on. Well, congratulations on your Daytona win. What's life been like since you got the Rolex?
Thanks. It's been pretty hectic here the past like week or so between hanging out down in Daytona after we won. And my birthday was a couple of days after the race. And then came home, celebrated my birthday, and just been kind of trying to get myself back together, regain the focus, and get ready for the full season.
How old did you turn this year?
I just turned 20 on the 16th of March.
You didn't get to raid all the bars in Daytona there?
No, we got another year to wait, but at least I'll have a Rolex for next time when I want to go out. So.
Right on. And so how many Daytona 200s have you run? Was that, tell me that was your first.
That was actually my second 200, 2019. It was me and Bobby Fong leading the 200 with five laps to go and then restarted it. And I kind of got swallowed on the restart with five laps to go of a 57-lap race and finished fifth. And then last year I qualified eighth, which was my best qualifying. Until this year I qualified fifth and then wound up winning the race. So it was actually the second time that I've raced it, but the third time that we've gone to Daytona for the race.
Yes, sadly, as we all know, last year we had our man Tommy Boy Hoverson there in the pits when they called the race. This year, so much better. What was your favorite part looking back on it? Now you've got a little bit of time between that day and today. What was your favorite part of the race beyond, of course, that run to the line, which was epic? 0.03, you can't get any closer.
Yeah, it was a fantastic race. Like, I just had a good time. I rode really loose. And I mean, you could kind of tell on the TV, like, I wasn't really stressed out the whole time. I wasn't really pushing to get to the front. I kind of was just confident that I had the pace. And I really just sat there 4th, 5th, 6th most of the race. And anytime that I could see a gap from the leader or 2 leaders, I would make my way to the front of the pack and then catch back up to them front guys and just kind of sit there and conserve energy. Not even a couple weeks. I think it was 12 days or 11 days before the race. I tore 2.5 ligaments in my ankle, my shifter ankle. So I didn't even know if I was going to race. So we were just trying to save as much energy as I could all weekend up until the race started. So I kind of did as few laps as I could and kind of just tried to stay off my foot as much as possible as well leading up to the race. And then just kind of give my all come race time.
Brandon, I couldn't imagine a tougher track to go out there with a damaged appendage out there. What was that like? I mean, was that something that was on your mind during the race at all?
Honestly, as soon as the flag dropped in the race, I didn't even feel it. The adrenaline kicked in and all that good stuff, and I kind of just had one goal on my mind, and that was to obviously win the race. It was out of sight, out of mind, I guess you could say.
Brandon, that's a really comparatively long race for most road racers, let's say. There are endurance races. Did you do a lot of that kind of stuff to prep for it at all? I mean, you're probably in great physical shape and 2 hours maybe isn't the longest deal for you, but it sure seems like a long time at full speed.
Yeah, I mean, growing up as a kid, we have this local mini GP organization called NJ Mini GP, and they do like 4-hour endurance races. So they have like the regular sprint race series, then they have a 4-hour endurance race series. So growing up as a kid, I would always do the 4-hour endurance races, and you have a team and stuff, so you swap bikes, but you get a ton of riding. We would normally do 2 people, so it's 2 hours at a time. So I did those growing up, and then even races, GCS, like the amateur stuff growing up, they always had like the GTU, GTO, which is like a 25-minute race, and then they have the team challenge, which is like, I think also a 2-hour race or similar to the 200, but at other tracks. So I would do those races kind of growing up, but this year actually before the race, like I said, I was kind of injured coming up to the race there. So I hadn't been in the gym for almost a month. I hadn't been on the bicycle. I hadn't been running. I haven't really been doing a whole lot before the race just because of my injuries. So I was actually quite nervous before the race, whether or not I was going to last the whole race. And I had confidence in myself just because I know how to ride a motorcycle and I know how to like conserve my energy kind of pretty well. But at the same time, when you're riding on the limit for 2 hours, you're going to spend the energy. So it was a little bit nerve-wracking getting up to the race there.
Well, it didn't show. You certainly crushed it out there. The finish at Daytona, it was a classic Daytona finish. You're a racer. You know what Daytona ends up being, two well-matched racers or more. We've seen the draft to the line. What was your confidence level that you were going to be able to pull that off? Because, I mean, he went for the classic double draft, and he was on his way back another 50 yards, and it's a different result, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Daytona's a tricky one. Your luck can go one way or another. I mean, like in 2019, I think I set myself up in almost the exact same position. And the race, like I said before, got restarted and they started like 6 or 8 people on the lead lap. Some of them shouldn't have been there. And it was kind of just a cluster. And that's how it goes sometimes. So sometimes the momentum's in your favor and sometimes against you. All you can really do as an individual is try and put yourself in the best possible position for whatever the outcome is, and right place, right time, and the cards kind of went in my direction. Wasn't luck,
but it was definitely like the persistence of like putting myself in the right spot the whole race and just being confident and kind of knowing like, okay, I can do this lap time, any lap that I want, and I can pass these guys in these places. Like, I kind of just had like a sense of, I know I can do it. So just try and be smart and put myself in the right spot. And I was pretty happy with where I was on the last lap. And I just knew like, as long as I'm within probably like 6 bike lanes or 8 bike lanes coming onto the last banking, that I could draft into the line. So I kind of just stayed calm and just kept my cool and waited and just struck at the right moment and made it happen.
It was a brilliant last lap move. Again, Daytona is one of the great places for racing because of those last lap. It's always beautiful to watch. So you, at the tender age of 20, are what most people would call a veteran racer, right? You've been around the world. You've done it all. Do you have more interest in international racing? Is that still in your sights of something you want to do? Or have you done it and lived it?
I think I'm still on my way to the top, to be honest with you. I think there's a path that I'm headed down where obviously it's not easy and I'm going to have to put in a lot of work and I'm going to have a lot of help from sponsors and supporters to make it happen. But I think I'm on the right path. And I think that this year I'll be racing in the British Super Sport Series for the PTR Triumph team, Danville Triumph. That's kind of my goal for this year, is to get over there to the British Super Sport Championship. I already have contracts signed and everything. We're just waiting to start testing here. Hopefully put the bike in the top three in the championship like I was able to do this past year in Super Sport in Moto America, and move on from there. Hopefully head over to the World Super Sport Championship after the BSB and see where that goes. And I want to kind of keep climbing the ladder as long as I can here and see how far I can take it.
So, Brandon, you're a rather tall guy, I understand, and tall and thin guy. Is your ultimate goal to get on the biggest bike, get on the 1,000cc, and put that height to your advantage out on the track? Because I know on the smaller bikes, that can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge compared to, you know, a lot of the shorter stature riders.
Yeah, I mean, being taller, it's kind of difficult on the 600s, you know, just the bikes are so small. I mean, I'm kind of used to it, though, coming from, like, a Moto 3 background. I raced the little 250s for a long time. And actually won the Moto 3 championship in the British Superbikes 2019. So I was 18 years old and pretty much the same size I am now, just even skinnier with a little bit less muscle mass and those sort of things. Like, just trying to keep my weight down, starving myself to be at a competitive weight. Now that I'm on the 600, I can gain just a little bit of weight, but I'm still on the tall side. It's kind of hard to get tucked in and hard to stay at a good weight to kind of be competitive on a 600, to be honest with you. So I'm always looking forward to kind of getting on the super bike or on a GP bike. I know it's not easy, and a lot of the taller riders wind up going to World Super Bike, I think just mainly because of the height and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I'll see where it kind of takes me and just kind of keep playing it by ear, but I just want to keep racing.
Well, we totally agree. You're definitely on your way up, Brandon. There's no suggestion you aren't, and I mean, we're all looking forward to what you're going to do next. It's been an incredible ride. I got to figure you had some pretty stoked people on at home after that 200. Where was any of your family able to join you during the race?
My dad was actually down in Daytona with me, and I hadn't seen him in quite a while, quite a few months. So it was good to have him down there in Daytona with me. And then obviously my family was all back home here in New Jersey watching the race live. And I think everybody was starting to turn the race off with like 20 laps to go. And they all started to see me closing the gap and started to turn it back on. So it tuned in for the last, I think, like 10, 15 laps and just caught the end there. But everybody was pretty happy with it. And I mean, obviously my family was stoked. And for me, it was great to kind of give myself a really nice birthday present. Everybody's happy in a good mood and the sponsors were happy. And I mean, usually that's how it goes. When you win, all the sponsors and everybody's usually pretty happy. And then when you lose, sometimes everybody's not too happy, but right now, so far, so good. We're all excited to get the season going and keep the momentum rolling.
Brandon, that's awesome. We're nearing the end of our time, and we definitely want to give you a chance to thank your important sponsors that have gotten you this far and are going to take you further. We know it's important for you to recognize them. Is there anybody you want to say thanks to as our time runs up?
I'd really like to thank the Classic Car Club of Manhattan, Evolve GT Track Days, the Trackside Parts Club, Luxar VIP, Pirelli for the amazing tires for the race. It worked out really well. And Scotty Ryan at Olin, Megan Ryan, the whole TSC Racing crew, Scotty Jensen, my crew chief, and just everybody else that's really helping us out. I mean, it really means a lot to me and to our whole team. Even the littlest things help us out. And it's not as glamorous as it looks. So everybody that pitches in, it means a lot to us, keeping the dream alive and keeping us showing up at the race. Anybody that helps us out, we appreciate it. Speedy, Arai Helmets, and just the whole crew. I've had a lot of the same people behind me for quite a few years now. And it's been really great growing with the same people and kind of going through the tough times and also having the really fun and exciting times when you're on top of the world and you win a race, and sticking with the same people through the really tough times when you're getting your butt whooped. So it's been a wild ride, and I'm sure there's many more years to come. So just looking forward to keeping the ball rolling and having a good time.
Well, Brandon, we really appreciate you joining us. Mr. Daytona of the Year, Daytona 200 winner, Brandon Posh, we wish you the best of luck when you go across the pond. Go get them. We look forward to everything that happens this year with you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again to our guest, Brandon Posh. This week's Pit Pass trivia question was, what was the first production turbocharged motorcycle produced? And the answer is Honda, the CX500 Turbo. Honda gets credit for the first to the market production turbocharged motorcycle. That bike was ahead of its time. It was fairly advanced. It had air adjustable forks, digital ignition, and electronic fuel injection. The first Honda motorcycle to get that.
Upcoming events, we've got GNCC coming up March 27th, the Camp Coker Bullet in Society Hills, South Carolina, so make sure you check that out. And we've also got Atlanta Supercross coming up. We've got a week off from Supercross racing, but picking up April 10th, 13th, and 17th, we'll be in Atlanta for Supercross.
Another triple header, and in the MotoGP world, finally, we're getting a start to the season. MotoGP of Qatar, March 28th, that's going to be a double header event, much like we're seeing in all of the motorcycling world. So the following weekend, April the 4th, they will have another event at the same track there in Losail. They call that the Doha GP. We look forward to the GP season kicking off. Sadly, Mark Marquez won't be joining the guys at this first event.
Thank you again to our guests for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you can never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us. We really appreciate that. Make sure you're also following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our blog.
This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Howerson, Chris Bishop, our producer Lee Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Colt. Now I'm PJ,
and I'm Dave.
We'll see you next week on One Wheel or Two.
I'm a grown-up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown-up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown-ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown-Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown-Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, you think that was good enough?
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
No. Right.